Welcome to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast, a show dedicated to the storytelling that happens
or should happen
when practitioners purchase technology. Each episode is designed to inspire new ways and ideas to make your business better as we speak with the brightest minds in recruitment and HR tech. That's what we do. Here's your host, William Tincup.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is William Tincup. You're listening to the Use Case Podcast. Today we have video on and Kashi on from Fitbots, and we're going to be learning about their firm, Fitbots. And so I'm really excited because I know both of them, and I've interacted with them a bunch, and I like Fitbots. So it'll be kind of a fun show because we all like each other, and so there's that. So without any further ado, Vidya, will you introduce yourself, and then Kashi, introduce yourself, and then one of you introduce Fitbots to the audience?
Yeah, thanks, William, and we're absolutely excited to be here. Hi, everyone. My name is Vidya. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Fitbots. Started Fitbots with a lot of passion to take OKRs to companies globally. In my past life, before I started Fitbots, I used to lead performance and leadership building for a billion-dollar company named Mindtree. And that's where the idea started. And from there was no turning back.
And Kashi?
Hi, everyone. I'm Kashi. I'm the co-founder and CTO of Fitbots. Prior to this, I was an enterprise architect. I found the concept of data-driven decisions very enticing. That got me into looking more into decision-making frameworks and strategy execution frameworks. And OKRs is the most powerful frameworks of all, hence Fitbots.
And one of you take what Fitbots is, what it does, solution, problem, all that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So Fitbots is an all-in-one OKR company. That's how we like to call ourselves. The reason why we say this is because not every problem in the world can be solved only by software. And we realized that, especially when Kashi and I started Fitbots, we realized that there are many teams who are new to OKRs. So we have the SaaS platform that helps companies get comfortable to track and manage OKRs. But along with that, we have our network of OKR coaches who help people get spun up on the process as well. So that's what we do. We help our clients get OKR rollouts right the first time so that CEOs or CXOs can align and engage their teams.
I love that. So let's start with the basics of OKRs for those that are acronym challenged. What are OKRs?
That's a great question. In fact, I've got a running joke in my house. I just recently got a golden retriever pup. And when I say OKRs, she actually sits right up. So that's how it's, just inbuilt into what we do. So a little bit about OKRs. It's an acronym, as you rightly said, William. It's Objectives and Key Results, popularly known as a strategy execution framework. But the way we like to think about OKRs is that it shifts organizations from thinking on tasks to thinking outcomes. And it shifts organizations from thinking about me to we, which is when teams come together and set high velocity objectives and key results, they're together able to move the organization forward. So that's just a little primer about what we do.
I love that. So for the folks that are steeped in data-driven decisions and strategy and OKRs, you've SaaSified and made it easier for them to then be able to track and manage and plot and things like that. So let's deal with the folks that we'll just go beginner, intermediate, and advanced. We'll start with folks that have just, this is all new to them, but it sounds fascinating and they want to get started. How do you, and of course you've got clients all across the spectrum of course, how do you kind of start that? Because y'all are both OKR experts. And for folks that are beginning on their journey to learn and to kind of master OKRs, it can be a little intimidating, right? Like anything, when you're starting. So how do you coach and help your clients that kind of are starting on that journey?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the way we look at OKRs is it's something which is very permeable even into somebody's personal life. So So for instance, let's say somebody wants to take this big objective or a New Year resolution of losing weight. They probably would put it on a little post-it, stick it on the fridge and forget about it and then go on to eating a cheeseburger. But really, it's not only about taking that goal, but it's actually seeing it through. So if we were to explain this to somebody who was a novice at OKRs, so let's say if the big objective is to lose weight so that I can feel like, you know, let me take my favorite movie star, probably somebody like Ashton Kutcher in his younger days. And the key results would be decrease my body weight from X to Y, get increased sleep hours from, let's say, 4 hours to 6 hours, and probably reduce carbs from X to Y. So it's simply put, you take a big objective, which is achievable, and then convert it into very measurable steps called the key results so that it helps you get from point A to point B.
I love that. So you break something big down into smaller digestible chunks. And also I'm assuming that there's milestones and kind of things that kind of are dependent on one another, right? So for the beginners that are listening to the podcast, you know, what it does is it takes a big, you know, in Good to Great, they called it BHAGs, big, hairy, audacious goals. Like you take an objective and then you break it down into its most fundamental elements. And then it makes it easier because you're just focused on smaller bits. Is that about right, Kashi?
That's right, William. It's more than we breaking down. We think slightly differently. When it comes to OKRs, what we would like to see is a shift in culture from me to we. If you take the highest performing organization on Earth, which could be something like US Navy SEALs or highest military departments, you'd often find that they often tend to succeed when every single person in the team works towards one common goal, which is defeating the enemy. Today, if you look at organizations today, if you look at the traditional frameworks, it's all oriented towards individual performances and individual goals. When we talk about OKRs, it's apart from going into breaking down the big objective, it's we tend to shift the organization culture from me to we. So that gives about a whole different angle to how we approach OKRs.
I love that. And for both of you, what I love about OKRs, and we've talked about it in the past, is once you identify the objective, you've got to articulate it's easy to kind of say, okay, we want to increase sales by 20% next year. But okay, you know, now it's articulated, but you've got to then start communicating all the pieces of that, and the transparency that Fitbots brings to the table is then again, here's how you can get to that. So now everybody on the team that me to we, everyone on the team can see the same thing. So you can kind of, it's what the military calls clear intent. Everyone has a clear line of sight into what is the mission. And so there's no, you know, if for whatever reason a day you don't talk or don't email or whatever, everyone still knows what the mission is, which again, I love that about OKRs in general, but I love that about Fitbots. Let's move to kind of folks that are your clients that are more intermediate. They've done okay work in the past. They already kind of get the bit, but they're new to using Fitbots. Like, okay, Now you don't have to explain, you don't have to define, you know, you don't have to explain the acronym, you don't have to explain the importance, they get it, but now you're going to take them to the next level. What does that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, when some of our clients already have the basics of OKRs in place, they want to know a little more about what are some of the advanced challenges in OKRs. So the first and foremost is, you know, how exactly do we write a high quality objective and a key result? So the way we like to explain it to teams who have probably got the foundation and want to write high quality objectives and key results is that objectives should actually tell you what exactly you'd like to accomplish. But most important is it underscores the importance of business value. So every objective in OKRs must have a business value, irrespective of whether a leadership team or let's say a frontline team is taking an OKR. It must resonate with a business value and contribute to a high velocity business theme. So that's the first step. The second is, when you think about key results, teams want to know how to actually pick the right key results. So one of the ways in which we explain OKRs to them is, hey, think about not only the lag indicators to your business, because lag indicators is something that you can't really control a lot sooner, but think about lead indicators, because those are the indicators if you control a lot sooner, you would be able to control your lag indicators a lot better. So that's one. And the second thing about key results, as we articulate to clients, is that it must move you from point A to point B. Because unlike traditional goal frameworks, which basically just help you measure a certain point of time, OKRs is about progress. So we pretty much would think about these points. Kashi, what do you think? What would you like to add on to this?
Yeah, I call this a sandwich theorem, where you take a set of key results, which are sandwiched with lead on the top, operational in the between, and probably the lag indicators at the last. So pretty much that's what we look at OKRs as a way to execute.
What's beautiful about that, again, organizations that are now using it, and I'm using kind of a phrase intermediate, but basically folks that have done it before, but now they're going to do it in a more sophisticated way, is you're learning. You know, so once you go through this process, you set that objective, you set the key results, and then you start moving towards that. Once you've reached it, let's say, there's all kinds of learning that's packed in there, that the next time you set either that objective or something similar, you've learned some things. The organization, there's some institutional knowledge that's there, that then they can make that objective even more attainable and things like that. So I love that as well. Let's move to the folks that are, you know, like your clients that are just, they're pushing you. You know, and I want to say the expert level, you know, they've been doing with OKRs about as long as y'all have. They get it like instantly, you know, they just, you talk to them and they're like, yep, got it. How are they using FitBots?
Clients who are at the stage of what we call the master level, they pretty much like to adopt the software. So today FitBots has got both the SaaS platform as well as the coaching. They probably may not need the coaching, but they're very comfortable in adopting software and tracking their managing insights. What they lean on FitBots for is for a consultative layer on what can they preempt, especially when they roll out OKRs, because we have a lot of experience of having, Kashi and I have personally coached about 450 teams ourselves, and together with our huge network of OKR coaches, we've put in about 8,000 plus coaching hours. So they lean on this native knowledge that we have to basically preempt as to what are some of the traps that we could fall into once we roll out OKRs, and how do you think we should manage them?
That's the change management part. That's beautiful as well, right? So, you know, not everyone's on the same page, but this is a way to get everyone from me to we and get them on the same page. But there's, you know, obviously you're dealing with human beings, right? So, and not everyone's on the same, you know, journey, not on the same path. So getting people to adopt and make sure that they understand why they're adopting and how important it is, et cetera. I can see that also for the folks that are master level. I can see them being intrigued also and just trying to refine. I mean, they're fine tuning at that point, right? And they want to just make sure that there's less friction in all of their OKRs. Kashi, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Yeah, you were bringing about a beautiful point a moment ago called organizational learning. If you really look at how that actually transforms in our master level clients, is the way they utilize that learning. In the very early process, the OKRs tend to be more like KPIs or business as usual OKRs. But as a graduate, they start taking bets on decisions or metrics that they have never measured before. That's where the organization learning really kicks in. The second thing that we see, especially when they use Fitbot's OKR software, is the power of cross-functional teams taking shared OKRs. They often realize that with the degree of transparency we provide, that there are more opportunities to collaborate. Lastly, we see that it's not just they look at how they have done in the past. We have an internal audit log of what went right and what went wrong at different instances of time. So they're able to time travel back and forth into the entire OKR cycle so that they're able to establish how their future can look like. And that's where power of Fitbots really comes in.
What are the two or three, failure points or pitfalls when, and this is something that y'all resolve obviously with Fitbots, but what is the, if you in all of your experiences, what are one or two of the things that people need to look for and look into when they want to do OKRs at a successful level?
Yeah, and it's a great question. We call this the OKR traps and the landmines.
And some of the
traps and landmines that teams could probably fall into is one is just about setting and forgetting. And that goes back to that little post-it example of, losing weight and it's there on my fridge magnet and I forget about it. That's an absolute no-no in OKRs. So it's really about taking it week on week through a discipline of check-in meetings, which helps teams avoid the trap of set and forget. The second trap that we find is the point that Kashi just mentioned, which is on writing OKRs in silos, because OKRs actually is a silo buster. So it's best written when cross-functional teams come together and pick up shared metrics. So the eye on the prize is, let's say if I want to increase my engagement on my product in the week one of onboarding from, let's say, 2 minutes to 15 minutes, then there are different teams who can align their activities to that one outcome metric. So it's really about writing them together. And if it's written in silos, that's another trap. And the third one is just taking too many of them and just carpet bombing the organization with too many OKRs. So in OKRs, less is always more, as we see.
I love all three of those. And I love the way that y'all frame them in terms of traps and landmines. Let's go to the demo real quick. And when y'all demo, Fitbots to someone that's never seen it, Kashi, what did they fall in love with? Like, what do you just intuitively, you get to that part, in the demo and they see it for the first time. What are some of those things?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think there are three things that sets Fitbots apart. The moment they log in, they see the first cultural element. We have two tabs, me and organization. So right there, we enforce this culture of organization or team is powerful than an individual. That's right up in the software. The second thing they love is our OKR builder. When it comes to driving consistency across the organization, it's important that everyone speaks the same language. And our OKR builder gets it right for them. And of course, we have our alignment boards, which are different and best in class. We have, in fact, two classes of them. One is by the entire organization, other one is by individual OKR, which helps them track and identify those key results which are really blinking red and take corrective actions across the board. I'll just add a last thing for some of the geos we serve. Printable reports are a big thing, especially in Eastern geographies. We have best-in-class printable reports as well.
So one of the things that I picked up, I think it was on the second one, is when things are when they're starting to get off track. So instead of waiting and having to do a post-mortem to then figure out like what went wrong, this is something that in real time you can kind of see this is already kind of the wheels are starting to fall off the bus or you're going off the rails a bit here, so you can take corrective actions. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. That's one of the differentiators. We do that through not just the software. We send them notification emails and encourage people to act on it. And in OKRs, we usually also help them train with the culture. We have an entire academy to help them to do so. If something is blinking red and someone is tagged, we ensure that there's a 24-hour organizational SLA to at least respond and act on it, which gets the organization going faster and smarter.
Oh, I love that. Vidya, do you have anything to add to the demo?
I really like the points which Kashi mentioned. So those are my top three favorites as well. I would probably go back to the OKR builders because that's the aha moment for many of our clients who are new to OKRs, especially who come in the novice to the probably the intermediate stage. And that also gets them to think about how do you write a high quality OKR. So I'll go with what Kashi says.
I like that. Well, and again, if they've never done it, this is something that prompts them not only how to do it, but how to do it really well. So that, and again, because you've also got the coaches around them, you've got a support system that's going to make sure that they'll be successful. So it's, it's not just set it and let it go. I love that. Favorite customer story so far. Vidya as well. Why don't you take this on? But just what I love about customer stories is sometimes they use it in maybe even ways that we hadn't thought of, initially, or, we talk to them and all of a sudden it's like, they're just killing it. They're just doing really, really well. And so, you probably got thousands of these, but just your favorite or your most recent customer story.
Yeah, I definitely have my personal favorite, and this is with an organization which is an edtech major, and the way that we find them use OKRs on FitBots is that initially we didn't realize that teams were actually using it not only for a weekly check-in meeting. But they went one step beyond and they started using FitBots to actually bring in more teams so that they can foster collaborations, cross-functional alignment with others. So let's say there's a specific team and they find that a key result needs to be written with a team who's not on FitBots. The internal team members went about coaching others, bringing them onto FitBots to say that, hey, come and collaborate with me. And this is the outcome-based metric that we're all working towards. So that's something that we really found fascinating. The other thing that we also find in this particular customer is that while there are many team members in their early career, the entire language of business outcomes has started setting in. So for instance, if they take a specific key result, they've now started asking each other, hey, is this really going to impact our top line? Or is it going to move the needle on customer experience? So those are the kind of conversations that we find with folks who are very, very early in their careers. And that to us is fascinating. So yeah, so this would be my favorite.
One of the things, and Kashi, let's go ahead and let's get your favorite customer story first.
No, I wanted to add to the story that Vidya was telling. In fact, the kind of motion that it set in the organization was quite fun. I was coaching one of the teams as well. Often when we look at organizations, right, the culture of me to we is difficult to change. Mm-hmm. We found that the team members did not wait for organization to recognize them when they won. They did their, at COVID times, they did virtual pizza parties, virtual lunch parties, all by themselves without even having the organization chime in. And that's quite inspiring. And we being part of that is even more inspiring. A unique story I just wanted to add additionally is one of our customers took FitBots to their board and started using it to drive investor conversations. And that was like, wow.
Oh,
it was
cool.
A real aha moment for us that, hey, this is another use case that we never thought of and FitBots is answering them.
Well, yeah, and again, it's what I love about that is if the board is using it and thinking in that way, then that helps permeate the entire organization. It just kind of watersheds through the entire organization. First of all, I love that smart on them, you know, of them to actually do that, and for their board to be bright enough to then go, yeah, this would be a great way to manage. One of the things that I think we've touched on in a couple of different ways is the connectedness of objectives and outcomes. And again, I love the way that both of y'all have pulled this together, like, you know, cross-functionally, getting out of silos, me to we, you're pulling these things together. So we set an objective, like a sales goal. And that's not just a sales goal. That's like, there's a bunch of other people that are involved in making that both happen and then happen successfully. And so I love that both about OKRs, but I love about that Fitbots in particular, is that you're thinking about all of that connectedness, and you're getting companies to think about it. You know, you're getting them to then break down some of those walls and silos and things like that. Last question, and it's just on a pricing side, and we don't have to get to dollars and cents or anything like that, but just, you've got a SaaS model, you know, traditional SaaS model for the software, and the coaching is, how do you kind of go about that? Do they buy buckets of hours, or is it kind of baked into some of their SaaS? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, we've tried to standardize as much as possible.
Right.
So we have three plans for the software: the starter, the surge, and the scale plans. And the features become richer as you go into the scale plan, which are laden with integrations, the OKR Academy, and so on. For coaching, we have two plans. So the starter, which is learn and write OKRs. And then for those who want more coaching support for 90 days, it's the entire full stack, as we call it, which has got learn, write, check-ins, and a retro reboot. So the standardizing of the plans also has helped our clients understand what exactly can they preempt when they start rolling out OKRs.
I love it. And you all know how much I love Fitbots. So first of all, thank you for coming on the Use Case Podcast, kind of breaking down both OKRs and also Fitbots, and kind of explaining kind of what y'all do and how you go about it. I appreciate you. And I also appreciate everyone that listens to the Use Case Podcast. Until next time.
You've been listening to Recruiting Daily's Use Case Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite platform and hit us up at recruitingdaily.com.